But if you got your Bible, we've been talking over here. Mark 11 is where we're going to go today. We've been talking about faith. And the first week we talked about faith, we said this. We found out how faith comes, or the entrance of faith. And if you guys remember the scripture we gave, we said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we made this point, and I'm just kind of highlighting it, that when you hear the word, something happens. What happens? Faith comes. It's kind of like a magnet. Once you start hearing the word, faith is coming. And so we said, you need to hear the word. You need to meditate on the word. You need to listen to the word and build your faith up. And then we said, in the second week, there's a substance of faith. Faith is a substance. And we said, you know, that's the scripture. Faith is the substance or the evidence of things hoped for. So faith, Bible-believing faith, is different than general faith, like natural faith. And we said this, the only way that you get God kind of faith, or the faith of God, is by hearing what? The word of God. Amen? Now, you can have faith, natural faith, in chairs and cars and things like that, but we're talking about spiritual, supernatural faith. The only way you get that is by hearing the word. And so, today we're going to talk about, we got two parts to this one, and this is part one of this, believing in your heart. Believing in your heart. Now, we've said this before, and I want you to understand this, having faith in God is possible. If you're a Christian, it proves something. Are you ready? It proves that you have faith in God. If you're a believer, it shows you that you have faith in God. If your faith in God will work, then it can bring you to a place or bring you through to victory. Amen? And Mark 11 is the scripture we're going to look at this morning. Verse 22 says this in the New King James. It says, so Jesus said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, well, who's a whoever? I am. That's all of us, amen? So whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his, look at that, heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Romans 10 in verse 8 says this, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice the word heart is mentioned in connection with faith. In the New Testament, when the word heart is used, most of the time, it's referring to the human spirit. Most of the time, when the word heart is used, it's not talking about this, the organ. It's talking about the human spirit. Now, there are some occurrences when the word heart will be used, it'll be talking about the mind. But you have to learn how to look up those words and find out which one they're talking about. But most of the time in the New Testament, when it talks about heart, it's talking about what? The human spirit. Now, here's something we need to understand, and we won't get into the fullness of this today, but you need to understand, you are a three-part being. There's three parts to every person in this room. You're a spirit, you're living in a body, you got a soul. Spirit is the hidden man, the heart. It's what I call it this, it's the person behind the eyeballs. The real you. That's the part that gets born again. So you're a spirit. You live in a body. How many of you guys have a body? If you don't believe you have a body, I'll kick you after church and we'll talk about your body. You have a body. What's your body? That's what contacts this world, the body. That's what feels when you stub your toe. You have a soul, which is what? Your mind, your will, your intellect. So your soul. So you're a spirit. So when you die, what goes with the Lord? Your spirit, the real you. That's why if you ever notice when somebody passes away, what's left here? Their earth suit. It's kind of like a glove in a hand. You put your glove or put a glove over your hand. What happens when you take your hand out of the glove? It falls down to the ground. When the spirit leaves the body, this is just the earth suit. There's nobody there no more. The real you is the spirit. You have a body, but then you have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your intellect. So you're a three-part being. So since faith is a spiritual substance, then we must understand that our faith is located in our heart or in our spirit. So today what I want to do is this. I want to show you this, that faith is in your heart and that your heart is designed to believe God's word. So, I mean, this is good news. This is like shouting stuff, all right? So number one, you have faith, listen, you have faith in your heart, not in your mind. Romans 10, 9 and 10, the scripture that we read. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. These verses show that faith is of the heart and not of the mind. The same faith that saved you is the same faith that you can live by. Think of that. The same faith that saved you is the same faith that you can live by. You believed in your heart to be saved. You can also, get a hold of this, believe in your heart to receive God's promises. Same faith. Same faith you use to get saved, same faith you use to receive God's promises. Now that's good news. So faith is in your heart, it's not in your mind. Here's something to understand. We've mentioned this before, we're going to mention this again. You must continually feed the faith you have with the Word of God so that your faith can operate properly. How many of you guys know you got to feed your faith? You got to feed the faith you've got. Now we're all given a measure of faith, but what we do with it is on us. Amen? So it's not on me. It's not on your neighbor. It's not on your grandma. It's not, are you ready? It's not on your significant other. It's not up to them to feed your faith. It's up to you to feed your faith. Now you can do things together, but individually you got to do it. Why do you want to feed your faith? To grow that like a muscle, like what you've already got. Everybody, scripture says, we've been given a measure of faith. We all have the same measure at the beginning, but what we do with it determines how much we grow. Amen? So you got to feed your faith. You got to continually do that. Listen to this. The faith that you have in your heart is able to see you through whatever you're facing. Think about that. The faith that you have in your heart, it's able to see you through whatever you're facing. So you can say this, I have faith in my heart, and it will see me through whatever I am facing. Whatever you're facing, the faith that you have can see you through it. Now understand, we said what? Faith is of the heart, it's not in your mind. How does faith come? Hearing that word. You got to continually feed on that word. Now listen to this. When I got a hold of this next point, this changed my whole faith walk. Because this helped me out a lot. You ready? You may have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. Some of you just were like, whoa. You can have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. One of the biggest reasons why is where's faith? It's in your heart, not in your mind. So you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. Mark 11, 23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Notice it says, does not doubt in his heart, but does what? But believes. does not doubt where? Where did it say not for you to doubt? Did it say for you not to doubt in your mind? Where did it say not to doubt in your believe where? Where do you believe? Where do you believe? Where does it come? It's in your heart. But it's not your mind. So you could read it this way. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes in his heart. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes in his heart. Your mind, this will help somebody out this morning. Your mind is not the location of your faith. Your faith is in your heart. Let me say that again. Your mind is not the location of your faith. Your faith is in your heart. In fact, you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. So where is faith fed? Where does faith come from? Does it come from the mind? No, it comes from the heart. So you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind, or thoughts of doubt in your mind. Now, there's going to be times in your mind where it does not understand how the Word of God, listen, can bring you through, but in your heart, you'll believe it. Let me say this again. There'll be times when your mind does not understand how the Word of God can bring you through, but in your heart, you believe it will. So there's going to be times in your life where the thoughts that are in your mind are contradictory to what you feel in your heart. Anybody ever have that? Because, I mean, I have. You know, you believe it. Let's just, you know, we talk about things that are practical for everyday life. So if you really want to get practical with people, one of the first places you can go to is talk about money. Because everybody, we understand money. How many of you know sometimes when you're believing God for something, your head will throw fits. But in your heart, you just go, I feel like everything's going to be okay. But your mind's like, are you sure it's going to be okay? Are you positive it's going to be okay? You better Google that to make sure that it is okay. Because Google right now, to most people, Google is bigger than the Word of God. But God's Word's way bigger than Google. Amen? And so, you know, but sometimes in life, you know, we're believing God for something. Our head is throwing fits, but our heart says, everything's going to be okay. Why? Because faith is of the, it's heart. Every person who has ever followed God has had times when they believed in their heart while their mind was giving them fits about it. Every person in this room, if I had you come up, we could all talk about it. Every person. Anybody that's following God has moments where their heart is believing one thing and their mind is throwing a fit. You know, a good example is with fear. Anybody ever dealt with fear? You know, and how many of you know, like with fear, for example, you can have the revelation in your heart and you feel okay in your heart, but your mind's going crazy. And your mind's throwing fits about it. But in your heart, you know, hey, everything's going to be all right. I don't need to be worried about that. I'll give you an example. How many of you love going to the doctor? We'll take a field trip next Sunday to the doctor's office. But you know, when you go to the doctor, what happens? Come on, can we just get down in the living room and get real for a moment? When you schedule a doctor appointment, I'll tell you what will happen with your mind. Your mind will always go to the worst case scenario. It's what your mind does. It'll start laying out everything. And if you let it go long enough, and we talk about this, but if you let it go long enough, before you know it, you get to the doctor, you've already planned your funeral, and all you're doing is getting a checkup. Why? Because your mind is going. So where do you believe? You believe in your heart. So sometimes when you go to the doctor, your mind will be throwing fits, but in your heart, you'll just go, I feel like everything's going to be okay. Well, what are you going to follow, your mind or your heart? Where's faith at? It's in your heart. So you can believe God. So when I go to the doctor, what do? I'm going to believe God that everything's good, and I pray out, and then I believe. So in my heart, I know it's okay. So my mind may be throwing fits, but how many of you know my mind's just throwing a fit? I can rope that in, but that's not where faith is. Faith is of the heart. So you can have faith in your heart to receive from God and thoughts of doubt in your mind. So we said, number one, what was the first point that we made? Number one, we said this. You have faith in your heart, not in your mind. Faith is of the heart, not of the mind. Number two, you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. And here's the third point. Your heart was designed to believe. Mark 11, 22 through 24, what we've read, it says this, "For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them and you can have them." Now, I want you to hear this. The word believe has a different meaning in our modern time than it did in Bible times. The word today, most people, when you say believe, you simply mean to accept something as true. I believe it. I accept something as true. But there is, or there may not be any commitment to it. So you accept it as true, but there's no commitment to it. You know, many people accept as truth that God exists, but they haven't committed their lives to him. See what I'm saying? Here's another one. Many people accept the fact that S-T-O-P means what? But some of y'all don't ever really commit to it. You do what I call California rolls. You just roll on through. There was a man, there's a story that tells us there was a man that he didn't stop at a stop sign. He was pulled over by a police officer, and the police officer asked him, "Why didn't you stop at the sign?" And he said, "But I slowed down." And he protested the man, and the officer gave him a ticket. The next morning, the same man at the same stop sign was pulled over by the same cop. Again, the officer said, "Why didn't you stop at the stop sign?" "I slowed down." He said, "But I slowed down." The man protested again. The officer gave him another ticket. The third morning, the same man, same stop sign, was pulled over by the same cop. This time, the officer pulled the man out of his car, started beating him, and he says, "Do you want me to slow down or stop?" I want to just... The man had done what? The man had accepted as true that stop meant coming to a complete halt, but what? He never committed to it. So, listen to this. In the Bible, when it talks about believe, it actually means commit or to trust. So, it doesn't mean to accept. It means to commit. So, I mean, when you look at that over there in Mark 11 and you read that, if you put that in there, it takes that verse and opens it up even more. It says what? "And does not doubt in his heart, but believes." What's that word believe mean? Commits or to trust that those things he says will be done. Think about it. It changes the whole, it opens it up to what he's actually saying. Because the modern terminology for believe is just accept it as true, but without the commitment part. Bible believing means what? You believe what? You believe, but it means to commit or to trust. So your heart is designed to believe or to commit to the Word of God even when your mind is not convinced. Isn't that awesome? So God has designed your heart to commit even when your mind doesn't understand what's happening. So that means you can have faith even with thoughts of doubt in your mind. That's why you can have something that you're believing God for, and even though your mind's throwing fits, in your heart you can say, "I feel like everything's okay." Why? Because your heart is designed to believe God. It's designed to believe or to commit to the Word of God, even when circumstances don't agree with what you believe. That's awesome. So faith is of the heart. Faith, you can have faith in your heart and thoughts of doubt in your mind. But your heart has been designed to what? To commit to receive the Word of God. So what it is that's encouraging because you are a normal person even when doubts are flying around in your mind. All of us have it, guys. And I think, you know, as believers, one of the things the enemy tries to get you to believe is you're the only person that has thoughts of doubt in your mind. And he'll always lay out everybody else that has had success in their life and tell you, well, look how successful they are. And then he'll tell you, well, look at all the doubts you're dealing with. I got news for you. We all deal with it. Okay? All of us in this room. There's not one person in here, because if you raise your hand and tell me it doesn't happen to you, then I'll have you come up front. We'll get you born again and pray for you for lying in church, you know? Because we all deal with thoughts of doubt. Amen? And all of us, we even with some things in our life where we pray, we know in our heart God's going to work. It's just like, you know, believing God for a job. Let's say you're believing God for a job. So you pray, you get your scripture, you stand on it, you ask God, and in your heart you go what? Well, I know God's going to get me a job. I know the right job's going to open up at the right time, the right place. God's going to take care of me, and you're at peace with it in your heart. But how many of you know your mind will throw fits? How are you going to pay your bills then? Well, you better go outside and sell your car. You better go outside and sell your house. What are you going to do? So-and-so got blessed and you didn't get blessed. God's not taking care of you. They're taking care of you. Your mind just goes crazy. And that's one of the things that happens. You know, I'll tell you, as a pastor, I made a mistake one time because I'm human. But I made a mistake one time. When I moved here, which has been, golly, I've been here 15 years, I think, is when I moved back. It's amazing. I mean, how fast time goes. I was 12 when I came here. I'm 45 now, okay, so I've been here. But when I came back, you know, one of the things I did was I was believing God for some things in my life, and I needed some finances. And so I was believing God for finances and believing God for a job, and I believed in my heart, but my mind was throwing fits about it. And so I just thought, you know, to silence my mind, I've just given to those thoughts. So I sold things to get money that I wish I never would have sold. And one of the things I sold was now there's only a couple of you here that understand the heartache of this, but I sold a tube amp that was a twin reverb Fender 1965 duplicate model of a twin reverb guitar amp. Yeah, it hurts. I've had to repent a lot of it. But you say, well, why'd you sell it? Because I gave in to the thoughts in my mind that God wasn't going to take care of me when in my heart God said he would. And I remember I sold that thing, and I remember recently I went to look at an amp one time. I was just looking around a guitar store, and I saw one similar to what I had, and I saw the price tag on it and went, dear Lord, what was I thinking? Because it basically, as far as value-wise, it like more than doubled what I paid for it. And I thought, why did I do that? Why? Because I yielded to the thoughts in my mind. I had faith in my heart, but doubt in my mind. And when I learned this principle, it helped me understand. You don't have to give in to the thoughts in your mind. You can follow your heart, because faith is of the heart, not of the mind. And that means I'm going to have thoughts come across my mind that don't line up with God's word. But I can pull those thoughts in with the word, but I can follow what? What's in my heart. And so I'd encourage you, you know, whatever God's telling you in your heart, that's where you believe. But you're normal. Even if you have those thoughts flying around your mind, you keep on believing the word of God in your heart. Your faith in your heart will bring you through the difficulties of life, even when your mind is giving you fits. You have to determine to believe or to commit to the Word of God. You have to determine to believe or commit to the Word of God. And you also have to determine to feed your faith daily. Notice this, feed your faith daily. Why? So that your faith remains strong and committed to the Word of God. How many of you guys know it takes daily time with God? You can't do a weekly feed up on Sunday. It doesn't work. It'll get you through Sunday. Usually it'll pull you all the way to Monday morning. And how many of you know tomorrow the alarm's going to go off and you get up and there's going to be things we all face? But you got to feed your faith every day. Now, you know, sometimes people will say, well, when I feed my faith, do I have to, like, sit down and read the Bible for 2.5 hours? Because I don't have 2.5 hours, Pastor. You can sit down and feed your faith 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night. Feed your faith when you're driving in the car. How many of you guys know now more than ever we have technology at our hand to be able to feed our faith? And it's so easy now. I mean, you can just do it all the time. And really, you can feed your faith to where you just feed it a ton. And the more you feed it, what happens? The stronger it gets. And when you hear that word, what happens? Faith comes. Faith comes. And how many of you know when faith comes, you got to walk by what? Faith. You live by faith. So every day you have to feed your faith. It's a daily thing. And a lot of things that I see with Christians now time and nowadays is they just do once a week Christianity. It won't work. You say, how do you know? Because I've tried it. See, I can admit all my faults so that you don't do the same thing I did. But I've tried that before. I've tried the once a week Christianity. And what happens? Your week overwhelms you. You don't have, the faith's not there. It's not strong. It's there, but it's not been strengthened. And how many of you know, usually when something hits you in life, that's not the time to start feeding your faith. You should have your faith fed before it happens. Because why? Because then you'll be strong in faith. You know, that's one of the reasons why you make sure to feed your faith every day. Feed it. Think on it. Meditate on that word. Listen to that word. Hear that word. You know, listen to your preacher that you like to listen to, but more importantly, listen to yourself. Read the word. Read the word for yourself. It's good to hear a preacher preach. I'm not against that. But you've got to read the word for yourself. Because I have found out in life when things happen, it doesn't matter if I can quote what Pastor so-and-so said. I have to quote what Pastor so-and-so said, but I have to say what? He said what the word said, and it's the word that works. Amen? So that's why I tell people, like, if you can quote me, cool. But it ain't going to do much because it's what Pastor Matt said. It's the word that I use that changes things. Amen? And so you meditate on that word. So feed your faith every day. Commit yourself to read that word. Just feed your faith daily. And the thing that you find out with the word, and you'll find this as you grow in your faith, after you start feeding your faith, just 15 minutes won't satisfy you. See, I like desserts, y'all. I like desserts a lot, you know. I wish there was a way we could eat desserts and be fit, because if we could, y'all, I'd be ripped, you know. Like, seriously. But, like, I love sweets, and I like sweets. But I found this out with sweets, and most of you can relate to me on this. We could have an altar call after this. But it's hard just to eat one slice of pie. I know if I put ice cream on it, it's really hard to eat one piece. And it's like once you eat that one piece, it's like, oh. And I don't know about you and coffee, but anybody ever hear when you get a good cup of coffee? Good cup. Like a cup where it's blended perfectly and the cream's just right. And it's just like you take a sip and you, what do you go? You're not like, bleh. You go, oh, that's a good cup of coffee. And what happens when you drink that one cup? You want another cup. Why? Because it's good. Same thing with the pie. You take a piece of that pie and you eat just a sliver. You eat a sliver of that pie, what happens? You're like, I'm done. I'm done. And then you walk by the fridge, and the pie is in the fridge, and it has a voice. And it calls to you as you walk by. Open up and eat just one more bite. And you sit there and you contemplate it, and you try to think like, and then what do? If you do like me, you're like, I'll just have a sliver. And you pull it out, and you take another sliver. And then what happens is you go to bed at night, and you walk by, and you want to have a piece of pie, and you open up, and you realize you ate the whole thing. What happens? You love it because it tastes so good. It's the same thing that happens with God's Word. You start spending time in the Word, and you get a sliver of it, eventually you're going to say, I want the whole thing. It'll just consume your life to where you're just like, I don't want to watch Netflix no more. I want to know what God says. I don't want to go out with my friends right now because I need to pray because I missed my time with the Lord. They can wait, but God can't. You'll get so hungry for the Word of God that you don't want to leave or depart from it. You'll just say, man, I got to think about this all the time because this is so good. Why? Because it's Word and it's feeding your faith, and the more you do it, the more you're going to want it. So do it every day. Amen? So commit to that. Commit to feed your faith daily so that your faith remains strong and you're committed to the Word of God. Amen? And so we said this. We'll go over the 3 points. Number one, talking about believing in your heart. Number one, we said you can have faith in your heart. It's not in your mind. Number two, you may have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. And number three, your heart is designed to believe. So I just want to encourage you this morning with this. Let's go out of here and feed our faith this week. Now, when we come back next week, we're going to continue part two of this, which is believe in your heart, the second part. But I just want to encourage you guys, you've got faith. Amen. All of you that have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we said this last week and the week before, there's a measure of faith that you have. But let's strengthen that faith we've got. Let's build it up. Amen. And let's get strong in faith. Can you just believe with me for that? Strong faith. I believe LifePoint Church is a church full of people of strong faith. Come on, not weak faith, but strong, growing daily in their faith walk and feeding their faith. Amen. So let me pray with you guys this morning. Let's believe God. Let's just close our eyes and let's believe the Lord this morning. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we can feed our faith and that we can meditate on this word. We can speak this word. We can listen to this word. And Father, we just thank you for the word. And we thank you, Lord, that we just determine right now, we just make a commitment, rededicate ourselves to you to spend time in the word of God daily, to feed our faith daily, to strengthen our faith, and to encourage ourselves in the things of God. And we thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our life. And we thank you that you are faithful. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness in our life. And we give you praise in Jesus' name.